Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us, for those of you in the building and those following along online. We're continuing in our series today. Oh, wait, let me turn it on. Oh, it's not turning on. Hey, tech team, can we have the screen that says out of the blue? Because that's where we are. Thank you. Awesome. We have seen through the testimony of Luke how he and Paul and Silas and Timothy, they were dealing with things that they never expected, things that just came out of the blue in their life. And we can relate, right? I mean, there are things that come up that we don't plan for, yet God uses for His story if we're willing to wait. The problem is today, we're in an I want it now society. Yeah? Okay? And when I was thinking about this, it reminds me of this scene in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And I thought this would set the stage for the message today. So let's see what Veruca Salt has to say about this. And play.
Here we go again.
All right, sweetheart, all right. Danny will get you a golden goose as soon as we get home.
No, I want one of those.
Bunker, how much do you want for the golden goose?
They're not the same.
Name the price.
She can't have one.
Who says I can't?
The man with a funny hat.
I want one. I want a golden goose. Gooses. Geeses. I want my geese to lay gold eggs for Easter.
It will, sweetheart.
At least 100 a day.
Anything you say.
By the way,
what?
I want a feast.
You ate before you came to the factory.
I want a bean feast.
Oh, one of those.
Cream buns and donuts and fruitcake with no nuts. So good you could go nuts.
You're gonna have all those things when you get home.
No, now. I want a ball. I want a party. And a million balloons and performing baboons and give it to me. Now, I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it all up in my pocket. It's my bar of chocolates. Give it to me now. I want today. I want tomorrow. I want to wear them like braids in my hair and I don't want to share them. A party with roomfuls of laughter, 10,000 tons of ice cream, and if I don't get the things I am after, I'm going to scream. I want the works, I want the whole works, presents and prizes.
That's good, Becca. Bad egg. And you know, the funny, you think about that, and it's like, you know, kind of made up, but the reality is that we live in a society that really is like Veruca Salt. They want things like right now, they want it their way, in their time, and it doesn't matter at what cost. And I know she's a bit of an extreme, but you get the idea, right? So, God doesn't operate that way, though, does He? His timetable is different than what we might expect by today's standards. With the internet, we can have information in seconds. Packages delivered at our door the next day, if not the same day. I mean, goodness, they're talking about bringing packages to your door with a drone now, same-day delivery. That's craziness. That's crazy. Instant gratification is the measure for today. If we just go back 20 years, things took time. And we would have to wait for an outcome. I know some of you can think back that far because you were here. Think back 20 years, right? 20 years, things were totally different. They were entirely different. We had to wait. That's the way it was. You ordered something, you had to wait till it came into the store sometimes. If it was special order, it could be 6, 8, 12 weeks. 12 weeks! Can you imagine for the ones who was younger in the room having experienced that? To have to actually wait for a product. 20 years ago, that's how it was. The greatest struggle today is when something does come out of the blue, it's what do we do with it? How do we get through it as quickly as possible with little effect to ourselves, right? Today we'll see how sometimes what seems to make no sense and could go away quickly if a few words were said If we let it play out, another plan was always in mind. So today, we're titling our message, Let It Play Out. How often are we really willing to let things play out? I mean, to see how God might orchestrate the outcome. How often are we willing to take our hands off of things and go, okay, God, your plan. I'm here for you. Our inclination is to not to want to go through something, but desire the quickest way through it. Anybody relate with that, right? I mean, we're always looking. You get sick, you're like, all right, how can I get better? What's the quickest way to get better, right? What do I got to do to get to this thing? Instead of what is God doing in this thing? And that is so true when it's something difficult or unwanted. And usually things out of the blue fall into those two categories. I bet we can all recall times in our life when we've looked at a situation and thought, why am I here? Why am I in this? If there's a way out of this, how many of us would do whatever we could do to get out of it? Yeah, only one, huh? Man, thank you for your honesty, because I think you're lying. Because I'm in that category. I want to get through it. I want to get to the other side. I'm looking for the shortest journey, the easiest path. But what if we try and find a way around it? What if in doing that we miss the purpose in it? So let's take a look at the passage today as we wrap up chapter 16 of Acts and see what the result of what Paul and Silas endured and how it plays out. So if you have your Bibles with you, oh, by the way, if you have your phones with you, you want to put them on airplane mode so you don't get interrupted by a text or other distraction. Social media pop up. Oh, there's, if you have an airplane mode, you don't have to worry about that. You can still look at your Bible app. So if you have your Bible app, we're going to be in Acts 16, and we're only doing five verses today, verses 35 through 40. So here's what it says. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace. But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and they threw us into prison, and now they want to get rid of us quietly? No. In fact, no. Let them come themselves and escort us out. The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them and then left. Let's pray. God, sometimes it's so hard to see what you're doing in the midst of something. So I pray that as we think about this passage today, as we explore it, that you would help us to think about situations in our own life where we need to let your plan unfold, where we need to let it play out. And I ask that you would help this sermon, this message, to relate to our real life circumstances, whether we're in them right now or we're coming up to them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you weren't with us last week, let's do just a quick review, right? Paul and Silas had been beaten and thrown in jail because they were accused by the slave girls' owners of throwing the city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for Romans to accept or practice. That was verses 20 and 21 of Acts 16. Even though they were in their darkest time, what we saw in their testimony was their willingness to know God was still over it all. Even in their most miserable of situations. At midnight, they're found in the prison, and what are they doing? They're praying and singing, and all the other prisoners are listening to them as they're enduring this. Now remember, they had gotten flogged, they had gotten beaten with rods, they're in the darkest, dampest part of the prison, and they're singing hymns and praying. And then what happens? The earth shook, remember? The earth shook, and so the jailer's woken. He shouldn't have been sleeping, because he should have been on duty, but he's woken to the gate, the doors of the cells are open, the shackles had fallen off the wall, the prisoner should be free, and he's about to kill himself and fall on a sword, and Paul comes out to him, hey, no, don't do it, we're all still here. So the jailer says, calls for the lights, rushes to Paul's cell, and says, what must I do to be saved? With great fear and anticipation. And what happens from there is, not only does the jailer believe, but his whole family believes. Paul and Silas go back and join him at his house as he bandages their wounds, and they have a meal with him, and then they return to the prison. And that's where we're going to pick up today. Because now, in verse 35, it's daylight. 6 hours or so has passed. So when it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." Excuse me. The first thing that I think we need to ask is, why all of a sudden have these magistrates come to this stark conclusion? Okay, you've been beaten, you've spent the night in jail, and now it's time for go. Was time for them to go. Was the punishment complete? Was that it? Was that enough? Was that enough for them not to do it again? Did they feel as though they would have learned their lesson or not engaged in this activity if they were let go now? They've suffered so that they're done. Or did the magistrates receive a report about what happened in the jail overnight? And rather than cause another uproar, they're like, just get out of here. Think about their words. Release those men. Paul and Silas were not the ones who really needed releasing. Paul and Silas may have been in prison, but they were not prisoners. They were freer than anyone around them. They may have been bound and beaten, but their hearts were free. They weren't bound by their actions as their accusers and their punishers were. They were not the ones in captivity. And it was those whom believed they had the power to free them who actually were. That's crazy. And the evidence of this is found in how they respond to how Paul replies to their offer in verse 37. But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No! Let them come themselves and escort us out." Now look at those words. Paul could have stopped this entire process before he and Silas had to endure it. Think about that. All he had to do was say, "I'm a Roman citizen," and everything would have played out differently. He could have said, as they took him out in the courtyard there and they brought all the people out and were talking, all he had to do was say, "Roman citizen here," and it would have stopped. Instead of Paul going on this journey and being flogged and beaten and chained in this prison, he could have been just set free. He may have been, "Don't do that again. You just need to leave." But instead, Paul kept his mouth shut. He took the road that God had chosen for him. He didn't feel that God had given him the freedom to announce back then that he was a Roman citizen. See, because Roman citizens had those special privileges. They would at least have had a right to a fair trial, which he did not have. And even if he would have been found guilty, his punishment would not have been nearly as severe as what he faced. But Paul was not going to waste what he had endured, because the Lord had another plan. The Lord had something else that he wanted to see played out. And now, Paul, the prisoner, the one who looked like was being controlled, he is now the one in control. Think about that. Bound in chains, sitting in a dungeon, and he's the one who's ultimately in control. How many of us get in situations where we think that we're bound up, that we can't get free, that we're stuck where we are, and that we don't know what God's doing in it? It happens. Real life circumstances come at us, and we're like sitting in the corner and waiting to take the shot or find the way out because we don't want to be here. We got our back against the wall thinking we're the only one here. But I don't see that in Paul. I see him standing boldly, knowing that God's got his back, that he's walking beside him, and there are no circumstances that are going to come at him that he can't handle with God. I want to be more like Paul. because he lets God's plan play out. And he uses the situation as a leverage point. Look how it plays out in verse 38. The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed, it said. See, the tables have turned. Paul and Silas should have been the one fearing, but now, look who's fearing. Look who's alarmed. When the jailer came to them, what was he doing? He was trembling. Remember, if you can remember from last week, the jailer came into their cell and he fell down and he was trembling at their feet. Now, we've got the magistrates. They're fearful. They're alarmed. In fact, the word for alarm there is phabeo. And if you look it up, it looks like the word phobia in Greek. And that's actually where our word phobia comes from that Greek word. A phobia is something that stops people in their tracks. Does anyone in the room have any phobias? Oh yeah, we got some, yeah? Does anyone have the fear of heights? So last weekend, or 2 weekends ago, we were away, and one of the last things we did before we left was we climbed this probably 50-foot tower and did this zip line. And climbing the tower was no big deal, right? Getting to the top of the tower was easy. What took courage was stepping off and trusting that that cable was going to hold us and get us to the other side. Now look, I watched a bunch of other people do it the day before, but things happen, right? Anything could happen. And as you're looking down at the pavement, you're thinking, this has got to take a lot of courage to do this. But of course, I'm up there with my 3 girls, and they're all watching Dad go first. So Dad had to do it with much grace and much, you know, and I just stepped off and I went. And, you know, I wasn't like freaking out, but when I get up high, there are some days where I freak out. If I get really high and I feel unsafe, there are other days where I'm fine. But some days I'm up high and I'm like scared to death. And you know when you get scared to death, what happens? Your hands start to sweat. Yep. Your armpit starts dripping. It's just not pretty, right? And so there's other phobias like that. Some of the people in the room may experience the fear of spiders. Anybody have a fear of spiders? Yeah, there's some people I know about that one. But you know, whatever your fear is, you get it. And when you face that fear, when that fear is in front of you, it shuts you down. It takes everything you have to face that. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you hit that phobia and you stop dead in your tracks and you're frozen. That's the word that is used to describe these magistrates here. They were fearful of what was about to happen. Why? Do you think they were afraid of Paul? No. They weren't afraid of Paul. Do you think they were afraid of Silas? No. They're not afraid of Silas. They're afraid because they serve our great God. A sovereign God, a powerful God, a God who can do whatever he wants to do. And that's why they were afraid. Because they realized no longer are we dealing with 2 simple men who are Roman citizens. They realize that they're dealing with someone far superior than just men. The magistrates knew they were in this serious situation, and now it would be themselves too. See, you got to understand that what they had done was illegal. See, Paul being a Roman citizen, they didn't give him a fair trial. They beat him, and now they were going to face the wrath of the Roman government if they heard about this. So they had a right to be fearful of that too. So not only are they facing God, but now they're facing the Roman government. So they're like, oh my word. You can just see them standing in a room and looking at each other and go, what do we do now? There's a lesson for us here in how these men responded to Paul and Silas and the accusations they heard initially. See, in our society, because it goes so fast, we have this tendency to make snap decisions. We move quickly without having all the information. You know, one of the regrets I have about building this addition was I needed to have the space And in building it, I had a plan in mind, and I knew exactly what space I needed, but I didn't know exactly how I needed the space. If I had changed the space and flipped this way, it would have changed my entire house for the better. Because now we sit in this wing here, which is now the church and our living space above, and this wing faces all the elements on three sides. If I had turned this addition 90 degrees, it wouldn't have faced near the amount of elements. The long sides would not, only one long side would have been exposed. And the square footage exposed to the outside elements would have been much less. It would have been more functional in some ways. But hindsight's 20/20, and when you don't think through something and you just make a snap judgment, there are consequences to that. My consequence is I pay bigger heating and cooling bills. Not that I'm appreciative of what we have, not that I'm not appreciative of what we have here, but there's a consequence to it. And I realize that I made that mistake. And there's always other consequences that you don't even realize, which I'm finding out because the county has very difficult hoops to jump through. But that's a whole other story. See, those magistrates had made a snap decision in that moment. And it can be tempting for us to make decisions based on the loudest voices in our life. Somebody needs to hear that today. Because there's voices all around us. There are people speaking into our lives. There are things that speak into our lives, whether it's a radio station or a TV program or peers. Peers have a huge effect on the decisions that we make. And if they're making wrong decisions or forcing us to make quick decisions, we could be in big trouble. What we should learn from these magistrates is we need to think before we act. Because the thing that we do could cause us a lot more pain than we need to endure. And that's what those magistrates did. They had listened to the crowds, and now they had to face the fear that they themselves might have to face punishment because of what they did. Just think about that. They're going to have to face a consequence that they would have never had to face because of a snap decision they made. Can anybody relate to that? Has that ever happened in your life? Because you made a decision, and you turn around and you go, whoa. I'm sure there's a story if you think about it. The question is, do we learn from them or do we remain the same and continue to do the same thing? Look, Paul could have demanded almost anything in this moment. He had the power, didn't he? But all he wanted was for them to come and tell them to their faces they were free to go. And so, verse 39, they came to appease them, Paul and Silas, and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. Oh, you're Paul and Silas, we're sorry. We don't know that they said you're sorry, but they came to them. And look, I want you to think about this, because Paul, even in this moment, could have made a big scene. He could have been marching through the prison going, see, I told you they were wrong. See, I'm free. I'm a Roman. Look what they did. And all the other prisoners would have witnessed that. The jailer would have witnessed that. As he marched out of the prison and he was walking with them, with his head, he could have had his head held high going, mm-hmm. All's he doing that, mm-hmm. But Luke doesn't record that kind of attitude from Paul. Now look, when you're wronged and you get right, how many of us want to go, see? See? I told you! Yeah. Right? That's pride. That's pride. And something we all have to be wary of. I mean, he could have demanded in that moment that Rome hear about what happened to him. And they could have said anything. He would have had to listen. So why do you think he doesn't? Why do you think Paul is silent in this moment? Why is there nothing else recorded about what Paul could have said? Well, I think one reason is found in his letter later on to the church there in Philippians, or in Philippi. In Philippians 1:12, he says these words. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, in writing this letter, he's sitting in a Roman prison with Roman guards around him again. And he's probably talking about that situation. But we know for a fact that what happened to Paul helped to press the gospel forward. Everything that happened to him out of the blue played out to further the message of Christ. Think about that. Everything that happened to Paul, everything, he let it play out. Why? To further the message of Christ. He could have easily made a big deal out of what happened to him. But by not stirring the pot, Paul was laying the groundwork for the church in Philippi. That's right, he was laying the groundwork there. Because see, by him not saying anything to those people, they would have been less likely to go after this newborn church there. In addition, I want you to think about this. Who had just come to faith in that place? Lydia? The jailer and his family? And who knows about what happened to that slave girl after she got released from the demon. She could have been part of the new church. So let me tell you, I guarantee you they were watching Paul and how he responded. So his response mattered because it was going to be how they would respond to similar situations and they would face persecution. Paul's suffering, while unfair and unwarranted, had a greater outcome in mind. God's plan was being played out in his life. While it could have been all about him, it was clearly all about Christ. And our final verse today reveals that truth as well. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them, and then they left. So notice who they were listening to. What did the magistrates tell them to do? Hey, you're free. Get out of here. Bye. What did Paul and Silas do? They go to Lydia's house and they encourage the new believers there. See, even in this moment, they're still not listening to the magistrates. They're listening to God. They're listening to what he's instructed them to do. Because Paul was focused on what? On serving God. He allowed whatever came at him to play out for the glory of God. Paul asked the church in Galatia this question, and I believe this is the mantra for everything he engaged in. And this is what we're going to wrap up today. So you might want to jot this down. You might want to think about this verse this week. Galatians 1:10. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings? Some of us need to answer that question. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a what? Servant of Christ. Who are we willing or trying to win approval from? Our friends, our co-workers, our family? Are we trying to serve Christ? Paul was obviously more concerned with pleasing God. He wanted to make sure what he was doing was not based on the approval of men, but based on the approval of God. His entire goal of his entire life as a Christian was to serve God. Even before that, I believe Paul believed he wanted to serve God. He just had it skewed a little bit until Jesus set him straight or knocked him down. Look, we're going to all face situations this week where we're going to have an opportunity to take charge, to influence a situation or an outcome. Believe it. I believe it. Because usually, week after week, we come back in here and somebody says, you won't believe, your sermon was like, how did you know that was coming? I don't, but the Holy Spirit does. So somebody needs to hear this message today. And maybe all your life you've been one of those people who have taken the reins of the situation going, I'm guiding the horse this way and I'm going to move it in this direction because I want out of this valley. It stinks to be here and I don't want to be here anymore. And now I'm going to try and move myself from here to get to there. Where God wants you to go, release the reins, let me drive the horse, and let you see what I want to do in your life and through this situation. And look, it may come at a cost to you. That's not always easy to hear. But I want you to think about something. Are we supposed to serve Christ or serve the world? Does a servant really have a choice in what they're supposed to do? A servant is supposed to listen to their master and do what he instructs him to do. If he doesn't, what is he? A bad servant. A disobedient servant. That might be hard for some of us to hear today because, you know, we're type A's. I know there's some type A's in the crowd today. And we want to move things in our direction. Sometimes we've got to let the reins go and say, God, all right, you got it. You're going to do what you want to do with this. Look, I'm, you know, the mirror's in the back of the room again this week. Type A. Try to release some things. But I want to be reminded of what Paul said. Am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Because let me ask you this question. For all of eternity, who are we going to be answering to? Human beings or God? I think that's a good place to wrap up. God, we thank you for Paul's example. Not only Paul, but Silas. He's silent in this, but he's standing right next to him. And there's some of us in the room who are that silent type who need to do the same thing. Just stand and be beside that other person. I believe that Paul was a type A personality. Yet he learned how to release the reins of his life to you. And I ask that you would help those in the room who need to do that, to be able to do that. That's a dangerous prayer, but it's one that we need to do to be able to serve you fully. To let your plan play out. That way, when those things come out of the blue, we're not surprised by them. But we know that you're doing something in our lives. That's pretty cool. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your plan and your story. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.